know, we've been going through the book of Philemon here on Sunday nights and going through, you know, book of Luke on Sunday afternoons and Philemon here on Sunday nights. And so we're here at Philemon 1, and tonight we're going to pick up at verse 21. And short tonight, but every time I say that, I've been told that every time I say that, it's like it turns into the exact opposite kind of thing. So, but I mean, I guess I'm just prefacing that because I didn't feel led when I was going over this to go move into the next verse. It just kind of goes into a different thought. And so we just want to stick with that this tonight. So Philemon 1 verse 21. And again, the background of what's going on. Onesimus has left Philemon and came to Paul. Right. And he's gotten saved. He's gotten saved. And Paul is sending him back. And he's going back. But he was unprofitable to Philemon before. The Bible says that. But now he's saved. And Paul said, receive him. Not just now as a servant, but above a servant. A brother beloved. He said, Philemon, receive him. Receive him as a brother. Yes, he's a servant, but as a brother in the Lord. And he reminds him, you know, Philemon, you owe me even your own self besides. And he says, look, give me joy in this thing. Refresh my bowels on the Lord. You know, take him back. So he's making the way for him as he's sending him back this letter almost of introduction, if you will. So tonight, verse 21, Paul says to Philemon, having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. Father, thank you for your word. Teach us, direct us, help us, and guide us. We pray, Father, in the precious Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. All right. So Paul, in writing to Philemon, he says to him here in verse 21, he says, having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee. He says, Philemon, when I wrote this unto you, I was confident. I didn't doubt that you would receive this in the right spirit. And not only would you do what I'm asking you to do, you'd go beyond that even. That's the confidence that I have in you in this matter, okay? So he's got, notice what he says. Paul has confidence in his obedience. In his obedience. Having confidence in thy obedience. Now, hold on just a minute. In his obedience. Obedience? Well, wait a minute now. Obedience, that means obeying, right? That means obeying something you're ordered to do. That means obeying something that authority has told you to do. That's right. Well, what kind of authority does Paul have over Philemon? He has apostolic, spiritual authority by Scripture to do this. But he's being diplomatic in it. Paul's an apostle. We don't have apostles today. But Paul was an apostle, all right? And he oversaw the churches. Okay. He wasn't merely a pastor overseeing a church. As an apostle, he oversaw many of these churches. Okay. And he had a responsibility there. And he had the authority by God and the Word of God to put this to Philemon and expected Philemon to obey it. But notice how he's doing. He says, having confidence in thy obedience. Paul expects Philemon. Look, this is not just a matter of Philemon. I think it would be a good idea. No, he's telling him what he needs to do. And he expects him to obey it. But notice how he's dealing. He's dealing with Philemon diplomatically, not with a heavy hand. He's not dealing with him with a heavy hand. Listen, if you really have confidence in the authority that you have, you don't have to deal with a heavy hand. In fact, the only time you ever need to bring a heavy hand to a situation is if it warrants it, and if the other party notches it up to the level to where you have to. Listen, a wise leader, manager, or whatever will take and say, hey, here's what I need you to do, okay? And if it starts getting bucked against, then it has to be, okay, look, I guess I need to rephrase it. Okay, here's what you're going to do. Here's what you're going to do. Okay, that's just the way it is. You know, Robert E. Lee was a master at that. He was a master at that. He was the definition of a Christian gentleman. He just was. And General Lee would take and he would put across to his subordinates. He would say, General so-and-so, I need you to take. And well, they just understood what that meant was, I better go do that. And I better carry it through and it better be done right. General so-and-so, I need you to take. And it's always in that diplomatic way. You know, he wasn't trying to, he had no question of his authority. No question about it. He understood his authority and he knew how to use it. But every now and then, there's a couple of cases he would read about where somebody looked and he says, no, General, this is what we're going to do. You're going to do that. And he just calmly and quietly notched it up when he had to. You'll find somebody that blusters and rails, they're nervous about the authority they have. They don't really have confidence in it. They're not sure of themselves. Brethren, when somebody blusters and yells and has to go around swaggering with their authority, they're not sure of their self. That shows an insecurity. Paul didn't have that. And he's able to deal diplomatically with Philemon and not with a heavy hand. All right? But may I say this? What he's saying to Philemon is more than just advice. There's an authority with it. He expects to be obeyed in this. But he's dealing with it in a diplomatic, gentle manner. It was more than just advice. It was counsel that was to be obeyed. Go to 2 Corinthians 2. 2 Corinthians 2. Second Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 1. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 1. And if you understand that about authority, it makes it easier for you and everybody around. That when somebody in authority says, hey, I need you to go over here and do this, or I need you to... What they're saying to you is, go do this. But they're trying to be gentle and kind about the thing. They're hoping that you also understand authority. If you don't, then you will cause them to have to notch it up. You are causing that. You are causing them then have to say, look, okay, now go do it. Okay? Now. And that will... You didn't have to be like that about it. Yes, it did, because you didn't get it, evidently. You didn't understand. And you need to understand that. We need to understand how to use authority. We need to understand how to be under authority. 2 Corinthians 2, look at verse 1. Paul says, but I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. For if I make you sorry, who is he then that maketh me glad but the same which is made sorry by me? And I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many. What's Paul referring to? He is undoubtedly referring to what he wrote to the Corinthian believers about in Corinthians 1. Remember chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians? There was a case of fornication going on that was horrible. Someone was having relations with his father's wife, the Bible says. It was horrible. And the church had not dealt with it. They had not got down. They had dealt with it. In fact, Paul said they were puffed up about it. They hadn't dealt with it. They hadn't put him away. They did. And Paul got on to them. He jumped their case about it. But the Bible tells us here, look, listen, though he had to notch it up and get on to them, the Bible says he did it with much affliction and anguish of heart. And with many tears. He didn't enjoy doing that. But he had to. Because if that thing didn't get dealt with, 1 Corinthians 5 says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. If sin or bad doctrine is not dealt with, it'll spread. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. It had to be dealt with. Paul got on to them about it, and they did deal with it. And evidently, when they dealt with it, it had the desired effect. Look at verse 6. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many. They put him out of their fellowship. They didn't eat with him. They didn't have fellowship with him. Verse 7. So that contrariwise, ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Okay. Someone, there's an incident in the church. It was fornication. It was wrong. Maybe it's bad doctrine, fornication, whatever. It's got to be dealt with. They put them out. They break fellowship. Has to be done at times. Now, when the individual gets right, when they repent, when they stop doing what they were doing, when they get their doctrine right, or they amend their behavior, then the church is to forgive them, receive them, move on. All right? Because if you don't, listen, brethren, listen. If someone gets something right, you don't hold it over their head hanging there. Because when you do that, you'll cause that person to be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. You can break somebody's back over that thing. Look, if they've got broken before God and they've got the thing right, who do you think you are? They got it right with God, you forgive them and you receive them. If you hold that thing over them, you're going to drive them down. Let me tell you something. In a marriage, if someone says, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? And you grant that forgiveness, okay, it's done. You don't hold it as a club to beat them with over later on.
Right.
You don't do that. You don't use that. You don't use that strategically as something like, I got this in my back pocket and I'll pull it out when needed. You know, you remember when? No, sir. No. That was got right. That was forgiven. You don't bring it up. You don't do. Did you forgive it? Did you forgive the person? Well, yeah, liar. You liar, you did not. You just evidently held it back there so you can bring it up again as a tool. I understand. We can fall prey to things. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't you strategically do this. Do not. I guess I lied a while ago. We might be here a little bit. Don't take. I'm saying in a marriage, don't you do this. Don't you take and be like, I forgive. But you know what? I'm going to keep you down with this thing. I'm going to keep you down where you're always going to walk around like this and perpetual to where you know you hurt me. And you know what? Now it's going to always forget it. No. Either forgive it and move on or wrestle the thing out with God and get His help to be able to forgive it. Don't you do that. Don't you hold that over somebody. If they got truly broken, if they truly got broken, and they sought your forgiveness, you granted, and you don't hold it over them like to keep them cowed down, to keep them kind of in their place like a whipped dog. You understand? You don't use that as a tool to keep them in their place like a whipped dog where they know their place, and they start kind of feeling better, rising their head up. Hey, get back down there. Remember what you did to me? You do that. It's wrong. Whether it be in a marriage, whether it be in a church, whether it be wherever. Look, the guy got it right. He says, you folks did right. You dealt with it. He got it right so that contrawise, ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him. You know, one of the ways that you can know repentance is real, the person will need some comfort. The person will need some comfort. Because listen, when you got saved, you know what you needed? Comfort. Why do you think the Lord sent you the Comforter? Because you realized what you were. You realized what you were. That you were undone. That you were a lost, ungodly sinner. Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. Yes, indeed. And you came to the Lord and you asked Him for forgiveness for Christ's sake. And He sent the Comforter. Can you imagine God putting you under such conviction and just leaving you hanging on that thing, man? You come to Christ, you get forgiven, He gives you comfort. Hey, He gives you the Comforter saying, it's taken care of in me. You're forgiven. You're mine now. He gives you comfort. Brethren, forgiveness, when you forgive someone, you also need at the same time give them some comfort. Because if they really are sorry, if they're really sorry, a lot of times somebody can beat themselves to death continually over it. Ain't you ever got something right to where you're like, I mean, it's almost like you can't stop saying you're sorry enough. You're like, I just, you know what? When you forgive somebody, You need to slip that arm around and say, look at me. I forgive you. It's okay. It's all right. Believe me. And give him some comfort. Give him some comfort. When they've got the thing right. You don't comfort them in their rebellion. You don't comfort them before they've... But when they get broken and they've shown repentance, forgive them and comfort them. Let me tell you something. If you use it as a weapon to keep them in their place, you're as bad, if not worse, than they are. You're kidding yourself. You forgive and you offer them comfort. Listen, let me ask you something. Let's suppose in a marriage, let's suppose someone is asking for forgiveness and you say you've forgiven them. Did you comfort them too? Did you comfort them? Because the Bible says, Paul says, so that contrarize y'all whether to forgive him and comfort him. Lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. So that's what he tells them to do next. He goes, you've done right in dealing with it. Now do right in receiving the person and forgiving and comfort them. Look what he says though in verse number 9. Or verse 8. Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. When somebody has done you wrong and they've made it right, do you confirm your love toward them? Do you let them know? I love you. I love you. Do you confirm your love toward them? Think about it. I was done wrong. Okay. You ain't the first. You won't be the last. And I think probably you've done somebody wrong in your life. Probably. Think real hard. Somebody somewhere. You probably hurt somebody too. Somebody's asking your forgiveness and you say you've forgiven them. Okay. How about comfort them and confirming your love toward them? Confirming your love toward them. I love you. You've got it right, and I love you. All right? I'm serious now. Look what it says next. Verse 9. This is what Paul's telling them to do. But it's not just advice. It's counsel to be obeyed. Look at verse 9. For to this end also did I write that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be, there's that word, obedient in all things. Obedient in all things. See, they were obedient in dealing with the sin. But you know, sometimes, as independent Bible-believing, we're sometimes good about dealing with the sin part. Man, we'll smash somebody. We will get that thing. We will come in on that thing. But we're not always obedient with the forgiving, comforting, confirming of love part. And to obey in one is just important to obey in the other. Both require obedience. You understand? Some folks are quick, man. They'll deal with the thing. They'll point it out and deal with it. Amen. Needs to be done. But Paul says, are you obedient in all things? Paul says, I want you obedient in all things. Look, you dealt with it. Good deal. But now the person has got it right. Forgive them. Comfort them. Confirm your love to them. If not, they could be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Whoa. Could it be that maybe there's a part of you that says, wouldn't bother me none. You got a problem. And you don't realize your own problem. Good. Let them grovel some. Fine. You got a problem. Your heart's not right. They may have done wrong indeed. Well, you're wrong in your heart. Such an attitude. Paul said you need to obey this. It wasn't just good advice. It was counsel to be obeyed. You dealt with it. Good. Now forgive them. Comfort them. Confirm your love to them. And he expects it to be obeyed. All right, look here. Go back just a minute to Philemon. Once again, this was not just advice to be thought over. It was counsel to be obeyed. Let me ask you something. How do you esteem counsel from your parents or from your pastor? If the counsel lines up with Scripture and is borne witness to by the Holy Ghost, then you had better heed and obey it. I'm serious. Paul had the authority to expect what he told them to be obeyed. Your parents do. Your pastor does. I mean, I'm serious. I'm not talking about having a domineering attitude. I'm talking about being tyrannical. But look, if there's an issue, or especially if you come seeking counsel and you're told what to do, if it lines up with Scripture and the Holy Ghost bears witness to it, no matter how we may feel about it, if it lines up with Scripture, the Holy Ghost bears witness, it's to be obeyed. It's to be obeyed. Paul told Philemon, and he's a friend with Philemon, but he says, having confidence in your and thy obedience. Go to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Hebrews 13, 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Obey. Especially if you come seeking help, take it to heart. Obey it. All right? Look here. When rightful authority gives you counsel, it needs to be obeyed. As long as it doesn't go against Scripture, the Holy Ghost bears witness to it, it lines up with Scripture, you better be careful what you do with it. That's what Paul's saying to Philemon. Having confidence in thy obedience. He goes, Philemon, I know you're going to do this. I have confidence in that. I believe you're going to obey what I'm telling you to do about receiving Onesimus. And having confidence in this, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. Listen, Paul had confidence that Philemon would obey and even go further than what Paul spoke of. That's a blessing. He's like, Philemon, I think I know you. And Philemon, I'm confident that not only are you going to do what I've told you to do with the authority he has from the Lord, but Philemon, I believe you're going to go even further than that. I believe you'll go beyond that. Philemon, I don't believe you'll just receive Onesimus. I believe you're going to receive him gladly. Welcome him home. Welcome him and treat him as a brother. Yes, he's still a servant, but treat him as a brother in the Lord now. I think you're going to go beyond that. I just believe that's the kind of man you are. And he had that kind of confidence in him. Listen, can those who have authority over us say the same of us? That they have confidence that not only will we obey what we've been given, but we'll take the ball and run with it and go even further. In a right way? Or are they confident instead that we will do just what we want to do? Having confidence that you're going to do just what you want to do anyway, I wrote thus. I mean, seriously. You think that couldn't be written? Honestly, having confidence that you're just going to do like you always do, you're not going to pay a bit of attention, you're going to do just what you want to do. That being said, I will pray for thee, my brother. Wouldn't it be better if it could be said, having confidence in thy obedience? Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote to thee knowing that thou should also do more than I say. Look, I know you. And I know you're not going to just do this. You're going to go beyond even this. That's a blessing. What kind of confidence would those in authority have over us? We'll get it down to a small level. If your parent asks you to do a task, are they confident that I'm going to have to go check up on them for sure? Or are they confident that, you know what, I told them to clean up, I told them to vacuum the room. I bet they'll dust it too, knowing them. Had you ever had somebody to where you knew if you ask them to do something, I know them, they're going to go beyond, they're going to do. Sometimes you run into people like that in life. It's a blessing, isn't it? I know what they're going to do. I just said do this, but they're going to go beyond that. And you know that. That's a blessing, isn't it? But it's not a blessing going, I told them to do this. I wonder if it got done. That's not good. Hey, young folks, you can get a hold of this, huh? It should be that your parent, wouldn't it be a blessing if they, again, ask you to vacuum, that they're like, you know what? I bet they'll go ahead and dust too. I didn't even ask them to do it. I just know how they are. Or is it, I know how they are, they probably do what I told them to do. What is the confidence those in authority have of you? What is the confidence that those who have authority over you, what kind of confidence is it that they have in you? That you'll do what you've asked and more so? Or that you won't even measure up to what they've asked you to do? Take your Bible real quick, go to Jeremiah 42. Jeremiah 42. Jeremiah 42, verse 1. Jeremiah 42, verse 1. Then all the captains of the forces, and Johanan the son of Kareah, and Jezaniah the son of Hoshaiah, and all the people from the least even unto the greatest came near, and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, Let, we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant. For we are left but a few of many as thine eyes do behold us, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk, and the thing that we may do. Then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Boy, huh? That book is so up to date. Hadn't you ever said to somebody, I hear you. Come on. Hadn't you ever looked at somebody and goes, yeah, I hear you. You know, so he said, I just really want to, and I'll do. I hear you. That's what Jeremiah said. They said, Jeremiah, pray to God that we may know the way that we should walk and what we should do, because we're a small remnant left and we want to do the will of God. Jeremiah, I've heard you. Okay. Look what he says next. He says, Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words. And it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. Then said they to Jeremiah, The Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all things for the which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us. Whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. They're talking too much. Too many words in that, bud. Somebody's trying to convince somebody something. I mean, all you got to do is say, Jeremiah, we don't know our head from a hole in the ground. We don't know what to do. Get a hold of God. And Jeremiah, pray for us that we know what to do, and pray that we do it too. Because you know how we are. We're just, you know, just pray. And we'll hopefully, we'll try to do right. But no, sir, that's not Jeremiah. Find out whether it be good or whether it be evil. We will obey the voice of the Lord our God. We'll do what God wants us to do, because surely things can't go good for us unless we obey the voice of the Lord our God. And we want it to be well with us when we obey the voice. You're talking too much, bud. You're talking too much. You're trying to convince yourself. Are you trying to pull one over to Jeremiah? No. Jeremiah said, I've heard you. He goes, don't worry. I will do what you were asking me to do. I will do that. And I'll tell you. Look at this, verse 7. And it came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came into Jeremiah. Can I say something to you just real quick? Just a little side point. Would you be willing to listen? How about giving God time to work? Man, you know the Bible says at one point, ye have need of patience. How many is that? That probably needs to be in a lot of our living rooms. Ye have need of patience. Brethren, look here. Give God, and especially give man, time to work. Oftentimes, we want something done, and we get all fidgety. We start getting, you know, when it's not happening soon enough for us. Brethren, look here. When you ask somebody to do something for you, do you realize that people have lives other than you? Other people have lives too. Did you know that? Well, I've got this and I've got... Well, they got lives. They got wives, they got children, they got families, they got jobs, they got things other people do too. And it is fine to ask people something, but give people time. And if you have a time limit that you can't escape, tell them or explain situations. You'd be surprised, but brethren, some folks won't even give God time to work. Pray about something, but then go and do what you want to do because you can't sit still. You know what? This is Jeremiah the prophet. All right? He's one of the major prophets in the sense of pretty big book, huh? Pretty big book there. 10 days the word of the Lord came to him. It took 10 days. Brethren, with some of the problems some of us have got in this world, you better give a pastor somebody time to figure things out and get with God. Sometimes lives get so knotted, huh? Some lives are in such a knot that to untangle that thing, it takes the wisdom and guidance of God, and it don't often come quick.
Right, right.
See, you go and get yourself in a mess. You go and tie your life in a knot and a half and then say, untangle it. And listen, it's often when counsel's not, it's like telling your child how to tie a shoe and they're going to do what they want, but they're not. You're going to tie it? Well, why didn't you do what I told you to do? Oh, no. Oh, no. I mean, seriously, same thing. Will you untangle my mess? Happy to, but give me a little bit. The folks, I want to tell you something. You might be surprised to know that your pastor a lot of times has already been praying about matters and still praying about them. He probably sees some things already that you didn't even come to him about. And he's praying. And above all, God sees. But you know what? We get ourselves in a fix and things get tangled up over time and we expect one day, one night, everything be fixed. They ain't happening like that. Well, of course, we could do like Alexander the Great did. Alexander the Great came to the Gordian knot. Nobody could figure it out. Alexander just pulls out his knot and goes, no problem. I mean, his sword goes, no problem. Slash. Done. Well, you could do like that, but that's not really the best way to do things. That gets kind of nasty and ugly, and you're not really caring about things when you do that. It's just like, I'll solve it quick. Let the pieces fall where they may. Well, we don't want that. So untangle a knot. Sometimes you got to figure out, well, where'd this part go in at, and what happened to this, and it takes a little bit. And you need to remember that. And brethren, listen, it took 10 days before the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. But he got the word of the Lord. And then verse 8, then called he for Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces which were with him, and all the people from the least even to the greatest, and said unto them, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto whom ye sent me to present your supplication before him, if ye will still abide in this land, then will I build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up, for I repent me of the evil which I have done unto you. Now, so here's what he said. He told them what to do. He told them, stay in the land, don't go to Egypt. Okay, I'm not reading the whole chapter for you, just trying to... But look what else he says. Look at that verse 19. The Lord has said concerning you, O ye remnant of Judah, go ye not into Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day, for ye dissembled in your hearts. Ah, he gets to the heart of the issue. Ye dissembled in your hearts when ye sent unto me, unto the Lord your God, saying, pray for us unto the Lord our God, and according unto all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto us, and we will do it. And now I have this day declared it to you. But ye have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, nor anything for the which he had sent me unto you. You know what he said? He said, you dissembled. As a word, if you don't know it, you need to look it up in your dictionary. You know what dissembled means? It means to put on a false front. It's to be a hypocrite. It's to say one thing when you mean another. It's lying. To dissemble is to say that you're representing yourself as one way when you're really not. And Jeremiah said, that's what you did. That's what you did, and God knows you did it, and God sees it, and God has said that he knows what you're doing. And Jeremiah says, and you know what? You're going to do just what you want to do. You dissembled, and you're not going to obey. Look at verse 22. Now therefore know certainly that ye shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence in the place whether ye desire to go into sojourn. Now what did they say? Jeremiah, whatever you say, whether good or bad, we'll do it. Chapter 43, verse 1. And it came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people, all the words of the Lord their God, for the which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words, then spake Azariah, the son of Hoshaiah, and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely, we are going to another church. Now, I'm just, okay. It applies. Look at this. Thou speakest falsely, the Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. But Barak, the son of Neriah, setteth thee on against us for to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry us away captives into Babylon. So Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces and all the people obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Judah. You know what they said? Whether it's good or evil, you tell us, Jeremiah, and we'll do it. I've heard you. I'll tell you. 10 days later, the word of the Lord comes to him, and he tells him, you better stay right here. You better not go to Egypt. God didn't tell you that. That didn't come from God. That Barak, he's got something against us, and he's influencing you. That didn't come from God. Well, listen to that. Okay. Brother, look. Do not ever say you want the truth unless you want it. Brethren, don't say it. In fact, listen, brethren, look here. If you ever say, I can handle the truth, you probably can't. An honest answer really is, I don't know if I'll be able to handle it or not, but pray for me. But I got no choice. Give it to me. And I hope I'll handle it right. But brethren, as a pastor coming on 30 years, I found most of the time when somebody says, give it to me, I can take it, they can't. And you'll find that out yourself. You better search your heart. You better be honest. You better know where you're at. You better be sincere about that thing in your heart. And at least be honest enough to say, whew, I hope I have the right attitude. I want to. But what can I do? I shouldn't want to be lied to. Tell me the truth. And I'll pray I'll have the right attitude about it. And I'll pray he'll do right. At least be honest. And listen. Don't dissemble about the thing. Do you really want to get truth and help? Do you? If you do, then be willing to take the counsel as long as it doesn't go. You say, well, how do I know it's right? If it's right, it won't contradict the book.
Sure.
The Holy Ghost will bear witness to it. And if you're honest about it, God will confirm it to you. If you're really on it. Doesn't mean it'll be easy. Man, some things, again, get tied in knots. And you got to say, ain't you ever had a knot sometimes? It's been like, man, that thing is hard to get undone. Take some time with it. But it's workable if you want to. If you want to. But look here. I guess what I wanted to present to you tonight was this. What kind of confidence do others have of you? Whether you're a child with your parents or an adult with your pastor or your boss at work, what kind of confidence do those who have authority over you, what kind of confidence do they have? Do they have the confidence that you will listen, take it to heart, and not only obey, but do more than that? Or do they have confidence that what you'll do is just what you want to do? That you'll talk a good talk, you'll say the right words, but you're going to do what you want to do if it runs contrary to your grain and you don't like it. Now, what's the confidence? I mean, come on, folks. God help us, everyone. God help us all. Folks, this flesh does not want to live for God and do right. And we need to acknowledge that. But hopefully, we're willing to say, if it's by the book, if the Holy Ghost bears witness to it, then let me get what I need and just pray for me that I'll do the right thing. But help me to face truth and receive it as it is. Let's definitely don't be of the deal to where we say the right words, but if it ain't what we like, we ain't going to do it. Make sure that folks can have the right kind of confidence in us. Let's pray. Father, Lord, Father, I hope I'm not kidding myself. Lord, in the sense of as I'm preaching to these people, Lord, I got to preach to myself before you. Because, Lord, as a pastor, I'm under your authority. And, Father, my flesh ain't going to always like what you want. Father, help me to be honest with you. Lord, help me to not blow smoke to you and say a bunch of right-sounding words when I don't mean it. Oh, Father, help me. Help us, everyone. Father, that you would and that others, Lord, over us would have confidence, not just in our obedience, but that we would even go beyond that. Lord, may it not be a confidence had in us that we just are going to do what we want to do. Father, help us to understand what obedience means. Obedience means not just in the things we like, but even in the things that sometimes are hard to swallow. Father, it was one thing for the church at Corinth to be obedient in dealing with sin in their midst. Then it was another thing to be obedient in forgiving, comforting, and confirming love. Father, help us to understand that obedience means all the way around. Help us, Lord. Please help us. Lord, without your help and your strength and your grace, Lord, we can't live as we ought for you. Help us, Lord, to take this to heart and to know where and how we need to apply it. And we ask this in the Lord Jesus' name and please for his sake. Amen.